It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And that's why, honestly, I don't think I can take it, because it took so long to bake it, and I'll never have that recipe again.
Well,
no, the correct response
is your own fault
oh, no.
leaving it out in
You're
the
supposed
room.
To say, oh, no, because that's how the song goes.
I don't care about that. All I'm saying is anyone who leaves a cake out in the rain deserves what they get.
Even for the 70s, that song was weird as hell.
Oh, yeah.
Which is odd because it's gorgeous. Like, musically, I liked it a lot. But it made no sense.
I didn't musically either, but whatever. I think it's more... I
was in love with it when I was a kid.
I think it's more strange that it was popular. I mean, lots of things are made that are weird and bizarre. That's not the unusual thing. The unusual thing is when such a thing like that gets popular and it becomes part of popular culture. You kind of wonder, how did that even happen?
How is it that everybody knows that the bird is the word? Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that feels no pain, no remorse, no sympathy, and will not stop until John Connors is dead.
John Connors?
Connors.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Terminator.
Yeah, it's John Connors.
Oh, I thought it was Connors.
Is it?
I don't know.
Maybe it's Connor. Yeah, no, I don't know. Well, one of those guys will be—we'll probably kill both of them.
Well, yeah.
To be safe. Maybe. Yeah, that would be hilarious. John, when you think about it, that's not a very uncommon name. What if he got the wrong guy?
Connor with an E, Connor with an O, Connors.
That would have been hilarious. And honestly, in some ways, it would revitalize the series, which has gone so ridiculously off track. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 291.
291!
Two-parter tonight.
Yes, that'll be 292. Because the producer and I are going to Oregon for a week. To see Fambly.
That should be fun.
Yeah.
So, can I ask you a question about Oregon?
I suspect you can.
May I?
Yes, you may.
Okay.
At this point, I have not committed to answering, but
okay, so
I will allow you to speak your question.
So, is there a... Although, now that I'm thinking about asking, and I realize that if you live in an urban area, and particularly in Portland, maybe it's a whole different thing than in the rural areas of Oregon, but is there a strong... cultural connection to the Old West and or to certain Native American cultures that were in the area?
In certain places there is, in general, actually, this is funny, there's our chief officer for underserved learners at our work is part Cherokee and is very big into his heritage and all that. So I actually was talking with him one time, and I said, because I've seen this a lot, on the West Coast, there is much stronger ties to First Nations culture, and there's much more still around, both in terms of knowledge and just in terms of physicality.
Yeah,
there's more stuff. And I was like, why do you think that is? And what it mostly boiled down to was, we got there last. Like,
yeah.
Like, slowly over time, we figured out maybe we shouldn't just, like, burn everything to the ground, and slowly over time, we moved west. So when we hit the West Coast, we were at our height of... We were in a more of a heritage concerned level than we had ever been prior to that.
Right, and also in a lot of places west of here, are the population density of encroaching Americans never really got
huge. And there's a lot of ones, there was also a lot more displacement up to that point, so like you try and preserve the culture, but everybody's in the wrong place now, and so they have no ties to that land.
Certainly not as much in the West, because
earlier.
Right, a lot of what happened after 1832, yes, you get a lot of Eastern indigenous people who end up in Oklahoma and Kansas and everything,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but a lot of the Western indigenous people ended up on reservations somewhat close to where they started.
Yeah.
So that's another aspect.
But there is a lot there, and I mean, I'm biased in that my family's always been very interested in that, and my sister in particular, her education was very closely tied to that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She did a lot of work in museum curation, and she did anthropology stuff like me, and she was actually out on a dig up in Washington for a long time that found some really cool stuff. So we're a little bit biased, but I mean, there's just a lot of that kind of stuff out there. The Wild West, I always felt less. I mean, in my head, I never thought of where I was being like the West in that sense.
You know, the Oregon Trail is very famous.
Yes. And we're very big into the Oregon Trail to the degree that I get really confused when other states, and then I realize we're just the end of it.
Yeah. Right. That's right.
But, and as I've said 1,000 times, and I just said it the other day to somebody, and I've said it on the podcast at least 500 times, we played Oregon Trail when we were a kid, the video game, and I really enjoyed it because when you won, you ended up where we were. The Willamette Valley was the end, and I'm like, we're in the Willamette Valley. We won.
But what was the draw to Oregon in the first place? Was there a mineral?
I was born there.
Was there a silver strike or a gold strike?
Not a lot. There were not
like
a lot of it.
Forgive me for not knowing. But
well, I mean, I don't know either. Okay. I would assume a lot was land, and there's also just shit tons of timber out there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, logging was the deal for a long time. But a lot of
there's pretty good food.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's good arable land and stuff. I mean, you can. Yeah, yeah. And of course, a lot of the initial explorations still kept hoping to find the Northwest Passage, which wasn't a thing. But yeah, I mean, I think it was the usual crap of everybody already owns all the land here. Let's go out there.
Yeah.
Well, and I think I've said before, too, my family, supposedly, if you follow my family name, specifically Parsons, they head out west, and then in Nebraska, I believe, a particular adult child of the group breaks his leg and can't go on, and ends up staying, and ends up basically populating the Midwest with a bunch of Parsonses, which is why there are a lot of them out here, and they try and find me and think I'm a long-lost relative. And then the rest went on. So you find a lot. I believe Ladora, Iowa, is just loaded with people named Parsons.
Ladora, really?
I think so.
So
when I worked for the newspaper, it was a thing, because people would see my name in the newspaper, and so they would call the newspaper and say, hey, so are you my cousin? I'm like, shut up.
They came west from where? Do you know that?
In my mind, everybody always came west from St. Louis.
Well,
Oregon Trail starts in St. Louis, so that's all. I don't know. I don't know,
you
Jack.
You don't know if that was where they kind of were originally for a while?
No.
Or before that?
My furthest back knowledge of our history goes to a woman named Tabitha Brown, who was known as the Mother of Oregon, who was in Forest Grove, Oregon. And that's in my maternal side. I don't really know crap about my paternal side, other than the bit I just told you, which may be made up, I don't know.
Are you curious about it at all?
Eh. I'm a businessman. I don't got time for this stuff. Busy. Busy, busy, busy. How's your week been? A lot of shows.
Oh, yeah. We saw Westworld.
You did? How did you? I didn't know you had HBO.
We don't.
How did you see it?
We cheat. We do bad things.
Ooh, be careful. Medicom will shut your ass down for that. They've done that with me. Although, since it's not porn, they probably won't notice. I am not even kidding. That's a real thing.
All right, then.
Yeah, really liked Westworld.
Yeah, I thought it was okay.
I mean, it's... In terms of story, you can't tell much because it was just a, ooh, here's a sprinkling of what might happen, you know. But it was really well acted and it was just really well put together. Gorgeous. The soundtrack, I kind of don't want to spoil it, but that was awesome.
That was pretty neat.
And it was funny because originally I was confused and I was like, that sounds... And then later I was like, oh my God, they really did that. and great cast, both of people that I know and people that I don't know that still did a really good job. Little nervous. We had a rapey bit. Mm-hmm. And I mean it was quite germane to the story, I will give them that. And they had the good grace to not to fade to black essentially. Mm-hmm. So I appreciated that. But that and some other things signified a potentially really dark and disturbing road they could go down that would make me not want to watch it. But that's one of many aspects to it. And it's cool. I feel like they're going over territory that should be kind of cliche at this point, but I think they're being interesting about it. I mean, the whole, you know, AI thing has been done. Unto death.
Yes, yes. And they didn't really explore any new territory in this.
No, but I feel like they're just a... It feels different.
No, I agree. And, like, it could do interesting things sort of down the road. I saw someone review it, and I was interested to find out they had very specific criticisms about it.
Oh?
And I won't get into the criticisms.
I was going to say, it's early enough, we definitely don't want to spoil anything.
I won't get into the criticisms, but I will say this. Because I think anyone who's interested in Westworld is probably at least going to be familiar with the film, don't you think?
A surprising number of them are not. Oh. And the ones I've talked to. And I should say, for people who are worried about that, I haven't seen the film in many, 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 many years. I'm not sure I ever saw the sequel. I definitely didn't see the very short-lived TV show.
We didn't see the sequel.
But given all that, I both found no references that mattered, nor did I feel like there were bits that would be confusing that would have made sense.
I didn't either. We watched it like just last year for some reason, just without even realizing the show was coming out.
Does it hold up?
The film?
Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, if you think about it as a period piece, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to give older films that kind of.
Especially with sci-fi.
Yeah, you have to give them that kind of leeway.
Yeah.
You know, you could. It seems to work okay. I'll say this, and because I don't think it's going to give anything away. What I found was just about all of the criticisms that this person had about the show led me to think that the person who is making the criticisms doesn't play a lot of video games. Especially not, you know, the so-called sandbox or video games. Especially not those. Because every criticism they had, I didn't have a problem with it because when these things happened in the show, it just registered as, oh, well, this is how these things work.
And I will say, insofar as it's tied into its old stuff, there are things you have to forgive for it being speculative fiction.
Sure.
Not the least of which is we learn to establish this technology with robots or androids that are indistinguishable from humans unless you know what you're doing, and these elaborate things, and they can adapt and all this stuff, and we turn it into... First of all, we turn it into a vacation thing, which... okay. Second of all, in this version... We literally turn it into one kind of vacation thing, which is an Old West theme.
Which in the film was not how it was.
No, in the film they had three different ones, and they had picked ones that they thought they liked. And in the sequel, there's like four of them. And in fact, Westworld isn't one of them, because they're like, yeah, people remember when that dude killed everyone, so that would be bad. And so in this one, they could surprise you, but as far as I can tell at this point, this is it. And I'm like, yeah, that's not what you would pick.
Well, this was one of the criticisms of this person, actually.
But that's the thing. You just have to be like, this is an old property. It's a speculative piece. We have a narrow field on purpose. Deal with it.
I'm not sure that's true, though. I'm not sure it's true that that's not what they would pick. I think because what this person was thinking was, oh, it would be futuristic, or it would be even modern times. And
no, I think it would just be more diverse. You wouldn't use all your space up on a Western thing. You'd make a smaller Western thing so you could make a medieval one, and you could make a whatever.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't surprise me at all if someone decided, well, we can do one thing really good, or we can do a bunch of things not so good, and we're going to pick the West because, I mean, I could see that being not just something that was chosen, but something that would be very popular. But this person seemed to think that is not what they would pick if they were doing a big thing.
I agree with this person. That being said, if somebody did that, it would still be popular because you wouldn't have another option. But, you know, if, like, you had an internet poll before you did it, I don't think that's the one that would win.
Not on an internet poll, no.
Maybe. Well, if you went door to, if the census takers got on the census a little added question about maybe. Suppose we made, I don't think Old West would win.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know about that for sure. But
I don't think it's a criticism of the show. The show's called Westworld. It's based off a movie called Westworld. It's going to be Westworld.
Most of the other criticisms, though, were all about things that I didn't find confusing or didn't lose me at all because I know video games. And I just got the impression this person doesn't play them.
So. Which could be. I mean, yeah, because nothing really confused me. I mean, there were a couple times where I was like, what? And that was on purpose. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a twist or something. Yeah. Like, there was nothing that I was like, I didn't get that.
This person was like, why would this happen? And why would that happen? And all my answer to each thing was, because that's how video games work.
Well, and I do love the detail we have. In this, we get a lot of behind the scenes stuff in this pilot, and you see the different jobs involved, and like there's a character who apparently is just basically the script writer for all of Westworld, and I'm like, that's brilliant that you have it. And he's very serious about his art, and everything has to connect right. And, that was cool. And okay. I don't think I realized this until seeing this. I'm kind of tired of Anthony Hopkins. Oh. And I think the reason I realized it is I loved him in this.
Oh, you did?
I thought he was... I mean, don't get me wrong. He's playing Anthony Hopkins, yeah, which is mostly what he does now. But it's the perfect part for his character in this. That felt right. That felt just right for me. So many naked people. So many naked people.
That was another criticism the person thought.
To me, that
it was unrealistic.
No, I think that's appropriate, but it was still kind of stark. All the androids, when they're not in use, are just naked, because why bother? But so we get shots of like places where they're stored, and you see like, I saw so many penises in this, more than I've ever seen in a TV show.
Well,
which was to their credit. They didn't do like cheesecakey nudity or just anything like that. It was just there and realistic, in my opinion.
Well, a case could be made, I think, for
smocks.
Yeah, for people just wanting to, hey, cover that up or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think...
And I wouldn't have faulted it if that had been the case.
But I think the reason they chose this was because... There's kind of this overall mood they're trying to get at of how they're by their creators and by the people who handle them, they're not even regarded that much.
Yes.
Like that's way too much humanity to give them to even to think of covering
it. And it was filmed that way. It was very stark. There was something very vulnerable about doing it, and something very objectifying about doing
exactly.
it.
Yes, exactly.
Because there were a few times where I noticed somebody... Because you would have scenes with... you have scenes with naked people. They aren't just the background. And there were ones where we had a shot, and I'm like, that's a really sort of unflattering pose or whatever. Mm. And I was like, that was on purpose.
Yeah, exactly.
That's they wanted... They don't care how right. these people look, right. and so...
If there was ever a very justifiable artistic reason to have nudity in something, this is pretty much it. And I don't... Of course, you know me, I don't usually appreciate that kind of thing, but I mean, it clearly was trying... And also, to show the nudity, not to cover it up very often, that was clearly a... You know, they wanted the viewer to be uncomfortable with it, to be uncomfortable with... Well, there's nudity here, which in our culture is usually only shown in a
titillating situation.
It's two people having sex, or it's a love scene or something. Yeah, especially now, especially on HBO shows.
Yep, yep.
The whole point, a lot of times HBO shows, for no creative reason at all, just to get viewers to look at the screen, they'll just throw in gratuitous nudity.
Well, and no offense to Game of Thrones, but... Game of Thrones have scenes that are decidedly not meant to be sexy, and they have nudity in them that is totally shot and set up as though it's sexy nudity. Mm-hmm. Like, this was... I'm a huge pervert. I stand by that. Nothing about this was sexy to me, ever. And there were some very attractive people who were naked. Still was not sexy at all.
I think that was the whole point. It's like,
yeah.
This is
they
HBO.
Did that really well.
You want to see nudity, we'll show it to you. And you are not going to feel comfortable about
it. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's... Given the premise of Westworld, we're going to have a lot of sex scenes. And those will probably be sexy. But we didn't have any yet. But
see,
we
I
will have those.
I think you're probably right. But I think they're going to be very ambiguous, for, even for people who are into that kind of thing. Because you're constantly going to be reminded... There's going to be kind of a different kind of uncanny valley there. Not in how the characters look.
But
in
how it's
you
filmed.
Think about the character... And you're thinking...
It's possible.
Wait a minute. This seems like it should be sexy, and I should be liking this like I do in other HBO shows, if you're into that kind of thing. But you're going to think twice about it because of the context.
I might disagree, but it has largely to do with completely unsubstantiated theories about how I think the show may progress.
Oh, okay.
That aren't worth saying at this point, because like I said, I pulled them out of my butt. It's not, what do I think they're telling me they're going to do? It's more like... If I was running this show, based on that pilot, where would I go with it? And so I have some theories about it, but we shall see.
We also saw Frequency and Timeless.
We haven't seen Timeless yet. It's sitting on there.
I mean, they're quality-wise, they're network shows, so it's not going to be like Westworld quality. But given that, and if you're okay with a network quality, which I usually am. I mean, I don't have a problem with something having a certain quality because it's on a network. But if it gets worse than that, I start to get bothered.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, for network shows, they were actually quite good. We'll keep watching those.
I don't think we explained how the show works.
Oh, well, you asked how my week was, so that's how we got.
Oh, well, we're 20 minutes in. If you haven't figured it out by now, deal. I've talked about Atlanta on here before. Did I talk about Justin Bieber on Atlanta?
No.
Okay, this was amazing. I don't remember if this is the last episode I watched or the one before. But they had an episode. So, part of the premise of Atlanta is that Donald Glover's cousin is an up-and-coming hip-hop star.
Okay.
And Donald Glover is sort of managing him.
Okay.
So there's an episode where his cousin is playing in a local charity basketball game. And they get minor celebrities, or celebrities they can, to play basketball against each other for some Atlanta youth outreach charity or something. And the whole episode is set there. And it's interesting because they just slip things in. Because, like, Jaleel White is in that episode. And nobody ever, like, names him or anything like that. So I'm sure he's just... playing Jaleel White, because he was a celebrity that was at this thing. But, here's the thing. Justin Bieber is in that episode. But it's not Justin Bieber. But they call him Justin Bieber. but he's black. Like, they have a young black actor playing a character who they refer to as Justin Bieber, who, as though it's Justin Bieber. Like, they just cast him as black, but, I mean, him being black is a thing, because they end up sort of butting heads and things like that, and as with a lot of characters on there, he says the N-word a lot. But I like, wanted to back it up. I was like, did they change the name? No, they just say Justin Bieber, and that's who he is, and he does Justin Bieber things and stuff, and it's not supposed to be, like, a favorite. They just, like, in our world, Justin Bieber here is black, because they needed that type. They needed very much a charismatic, you know, it's a charismatic pop star who's young, as opposed to this older gangster rapper guy, and they were sort of contrasting those. But I was like, that's a ballsy move, and pretty interesting to do. It's interesting, because you easily could have just made up a fake celebrity,
sure,
or found a real one who fits that mold, but they were just like, Justin Bieber, and so it's Justin Bieber. I was like, that's a really interesting filmmaking choice. And the thing I liked, it was pretty cool. But, well, and in general, I still really like the show. So, yeah, that's neat. The book is coming along. Okay. Although I'm not taking my laptop, and so I'm not going to write next week while I'm on vacation. But, yeah, just recently, I'm making progress now. It's starting to move a little bit. Most recently, I got through a very tough chapter. It's a chapter that's both a big exposition dump and also, for various reasons, a very emotional scene for the characters involved. Mm. So both of those things were sort of hard to write to. Mm-hmm. But I feel pretty good with it. At the present ratio, from how much the old version was to the new version, it's going to come out around 55,000 words, which is too little. But I'm still confident, because there's stuff, the further you get in the book, there are bigger things I need to expand on, including some that are going to be really big, like multiple chapters that I did in a few paragraphs. So I'm still confident I'll be on point with the amount, but
that's good.
It's moving along. I don't know. This is the point. Before I was like, I'm surprised at how good it is, and now I'm at the thing, I'm like, oh, it's terrible. Like,
yes.
I don't know when it is, but I mostly, like I've said before, I just need to get it out of my hands for a little while. I need other people to see it and tell me how it is, because I'm too biased. It's too inside it now.
Yeah, that happens.
So, we'll see about that.
Are you going to do that thing where that book? There was this thing you were going to sign up for or participate in where with other authors, and what was that? Did you talk about that? Something Trish told you about? A group.
Well, she pointed out that the Iowa Writers Workshop is here.
Oh, besides that.
And they have summer things that I may sign up for. I haven't done it yet. There's something called the Iowa Writers House. It's a broader, nothing that David introduced me to, that Dave
of it. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Sure. Haven't really gotten any response from the person that he knows that he was trying to connect me to. I'm on their newsletter now, and they have, there's a really cool event next week when I'm not here. That's like the Iowa Book Fair or something like that, that has a lot of writers and workshops and stuff, but I won't be here, so. I'm also going to be at Icon this year, and they have a writer's workshop, but I believe it's full, and more importantly, possibly, you're supposed to have some experience with specific types. Apparently there are specific types, like named types of writer's workshops.
Uh-huh.
And apparently for this one, you're supposed to have experience in a certain type before. And also, I feel like that stuff is probably valuable. That's not, right now, I'm not trying to work on my ability as a writer. I'm trying to work on this book.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's probably not conducive to that. So.
Gotcha.
Although I do wonder about that, because I always say the first book tends to suck.
Well,
and I'm like, well, maybe I shouldn't have written this one first then.
Oh, like focused on something else?
Yeah, I've written... Well, because this one... in a lot of ways, this is a distillation of two or three book series ideas that I've had for a long time. So they kind of mean a lot to me. Mm. So I'm like, I don't want to waste my crappy first thing on this, you know. But we'll see what happens. I am already, well, and this is me because I get bored easily. I've got some other ideas that I can't put in here. Some of which I think might work best as short stories. So we'll see. Once I write it and I'm giving it over to some of y'all to edit for a little while, I should have a little breathing room, play around with something else for a little bit. But we'll see. The whole amateur editing process is going to vary a great deal based on how many people end up actually wanting to do it. At this point, I am 100% confident in three people, and that will be huge just by itself. So it's you, Trish, you because you really want to, Trish because she has to because she's married to me. But I think she wants to also. And weirdly, my massage therapist. Mm. She's very interested and very specifically is like, I've always wanted to edit a book. And so she's very excited about that. But I mean, I've got probably a dozen other names that fall into the, I think they said they might be interested or I know them well enough, I think they might. And so there's going to be sort of a cattle call initially. Speaking of which, if you listen to the podcast and you want to do this, let me know. And I'll put you on the initial. I'm going to have an initial email basically saying, here's what's involved. You can decide now if you are interested or not. So if you think you might be, let me know. Pays nothing. Deal with that. Except I'm pretty sure anybody who helps me on this, if it gets published, I'll have to put their name in the acknowledgments. Because, of course. So it pays in the tiniest amount of tiny possible publicity. Tiny, but that's it. I feel like there's other things I did this week that I should talk about, but I don't know what they are. We aren't really watching new shows. The third and what will now be the final season of The Meltdown with Jonah and Kumail came back, and we love that, and that's been fun. So, we watch At Midnight. I've talked about that before. But it's on 4 days a week. And we DVR it. So we're always about 100 episodes behind, which is about 6 months.
Okay.
And sometimes that's really interesting. Right now it's particularly interesting because that means they're always 6 months behind on the election. So, like, at the point that we're watching episodes now, they're just starting to find Donald Trump not funny anymore. They're just starting to go like, holy shit. And I'm like, oh yeah, no, you have no idea. It gets so much worse than this. Who are you voting for? Can you say? Or is that one of those things you like to be quiet about?
I don't really know yet.
Because here's the thing. Like, I had a little freak out a while back, and I was going to try and find a way to be like, dude, you have to vote for Clinton, because I know lesser of two evils or whatever, but the other evil is so evil. But now I'm like, I'm not sure what you do, because the Libertarian candidate might be the dumbest man alive.
He's got some problems, yeah.
Yeah, big problems. Yeah. Like, well, actually, just one. He's really dumb. He's just really dumb. And seems cool with that. And I don't know. I feel nothing about Jill Stein. I know, like, and I'm, she just seems completely ineffectual. I don't just mean because of the party she's attached to, just in general. I'm just like, eh? So I'm like, so who do you end up voting for, yeah, you know? Because usually there's a third-party candidate who you're like, oh, they're a third-party candidate, so they won't. But they're good. They're the one we really want, you know? Mm-hmm. Like a Bernie Sanders type, basically, but, you know, third-party. But I'm like, no, the crop is not good anywhere this year.
Yeah, it's...
Except I actually like Clinton and think Clinton is a good candidate, so I know I'm weird for that, but... I don't just think she's the lesser of two evils. I think she's going to make an awesome president. And we'll finally have elected a woman. Finally. The hell, people. I think Turkey beat us on that one. That ain't right.
Oh, well, we're watching American Horror Story Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
It's just not as good as... I mean, first of all, no Jessica Lange. That's a big problem. Second of all, Lady Gaga seems to have one expression on her face all the time, and I don't understand that. I don't know if that's...
It's because she's made out of wax. It's a plot point, sorry.
I don't know if it's her fault or the direction, but it's just her character's boring. And the writing isn't very good, and there's... It feels like, you know, when you go to a haunted attraction and you just sort of go from one, you know, startling situation to the next, and there's no real story or anything that makes sense. You're just going through this thing, and every once in a while, someone jumps out at you, and you're not really scared, but you're startled.
I understand the concept, but no, I don't know what you're talking about, because growing up, I was always terrified of those things. I visited a haunted house twice, the same one. The first time, I opened the door, and there was a flickering candle there, and I was just staring at it, and I got so freaked out, I went right back out. Got my money back. And the second time, years later, I went through it, and I almost just, like, ran through it, just to say I had done it. I was terrified of those things when I was younger. So, no, I don't know what you're talking about, except I've seen it in other places.
Well, the show is like that. It's like it goes from one gross, disgusting thing to another. It's not even. It's not scary. It's not creepy. It's not. It's just gross.
The very nature.
No story, really.
I haven't. I mean, other than trying to watch the first season and failing, I haven't watched any American Horror Story. But I've read up on them a lot because I find that interesting. It seems like. They're just really different. And I don't mean in story. Obviously, they're different in story. But just in sort of what they were going for. I mean, they all just have really distinct feel. Some of which don't even seem that horror-ish in some cases.
Well,
it feels like the Coven season was way more just a soap opera than a horror story.
Repetitive and silly. And
yeah, because I finally read it, and it was a whole lot of... It was just soap opera stuff. This person's jealous of this person, and they had to get revenge on this person, and then, you know, it felt very dumb.
That was
easy. And then and the second season, I think, was very horrific and not super coherent, and very just like, disturbingly psychedelic and freaky. And I keep seeing the commercials for the one now, and I do not get why people would watch this season. It's done as a reenactment.
Yeah, I don't even know.
This season is called My Roanoke Nightmare, and it's set up as a fake, like, Experiences of the Supernatural TV show, in which people are retelling it, and then they have reenactments of it. And the funny thing is, because it is set up that way, but it's really a TV show within a TV show, you don't know, you as a viewer wouldn't recognize most of the people who are telling about the experience, the real people, quote-unquote, but the reenactors are people like Cuba Gooding Jr. Like, the serious big names are all in the reenactors in this. And I'm like, that doesn't sound scary to me.
Yeah, it's just, so far the season is just not very good. Mm. I mean, obviously, we're getting it on disc, so we'll watch them, but
yeah.
It's kind of a disappointment.
So they got Kathy Bates.
Yeah, and she's good, you know, but they're not giving her very much to do, and like I said, there's not very much of a story, it's just, oh, let's show people really disgusting things, and there's a lot of really disgusting things in it.
When I read that one, it seemed to me very much one of those where, well, and I felt first season was like this too, where... What the hell? It's all just crazy. Oh my god. And then, like, in the last two episodes, they just explain everything.
I don't know. I thought the first season was pretty good. I liked the second season. There were some things in it that didn't make sense.
When I finally read about the first season, I was amazed. It was brilliant. You just couldn't tell that from, like, the first couple episodes.
Oh, I guess.
The first couple episodes were just gross and angry people and stupid people and kind of like The Exorcist, but Are you still watching that? I heard the second episode was way more interesting.
Yes, we did see the second episode of that. I guess we'll keep watching and see what happens. We also saw the second episode of Van Helsing. And interestingly enough, the show hasn't yet explained why it's called Van Helsing.
I have a theory.
No, I think the people who made the show told people why.
Oh, I think the marketing campaign was pretty open about it. That's weird.
But in the show itself,
that's weird.
We still don't know why the show is called that. What's Van Helsing got to do with anything?
I mean, what's Van Helsing got to do with it? We can presume
the female lead is going to be connected to secondhand vampire hunter. Abraham Van Helsing.
What's Van Helsing got to do with it? Who needs a steak when... That is very strange.
Two episodes go by, and like I said, if you don't know anything about the show and you're just watching it, by now you're going to start wondering, why is this called this? I don't get it.
Yeah, with Winona Earp, they let you know like 10 minutes in, and then won't shut the fuck up about it for the entire season. Absolutely. Well, I'm going to start watching the second season of that.
The first season was pretty bad.
Yeah, but now I'm invested. Like, they put enough into it that I kind of care about some of the characters. And I just want to see what the hell they do with the goddamn 5 cliffhangers that they invented at the last second at the end of the last season. So, yeah, we'll have to see. I was amazed. It seemed too early for me. Apparently Elementary's already back.
Yeah.
For new season. I think we watched the old season so late. I think it sat on our DVR for a long time. Because I feel like we just finished it like a month or two ago.
We saw the second episode of Pitch and it was awful.
Oh, that's a shame.
We'll keep watching, but the second episode was just not very
good. We haven't watched any of this season of Lucifer because we just got the second episode. For some reason, I wanted to wait until we had 2 episodes. And
so
we just got it
Monday.
You're going to
watch the second season of that, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I thought you didn't like the first
season. I did not. Well, okay. By the end, I kind of did.
Oh, okay.
But more importantly, because I'm committed to the original property, I'm going down with the ship on this one.
Oh, okay.
But by the end, I think they had started to find their footing.
Okay.
And they also evolved and broadened the main character to the point where I understand him now. And he's not your traditional Lucifer of scripture, but he's also very much not the Lucifer from the comic series. Mm. He's something different, but I now kind of understand what that is, and the character makes more sense now.
Okay.
And near the end, they also kind of figured out that we are not watching this show for a shitty police procedural. Mm. So that helped. No, it's there, but it's not the emphasis. We got a lot of shit going on that has nothing to do with that. It's not just Castle with a guy who's a little more smarmy, you know. They're doing stuff. Because there's a lot of other non-mortal characters involved, and they are getting involved. Well, hell, Trisha Helfer's in on this season and stuff. And
we also saw Conviction, and it was not very good.
Hmm.
Do you know what that is?
I don't know if I know.
What's the woman's name who played Agent Carter? Haley? Is it Haley Atwell?
Haley Atwell, yeah.
Haley Atwell. This is her new
show. Oh, okay.
And I mean, she's fine.
She's a lawyer or something, isn't she?
Yeah, she's fine.
I could have gotten there from Conviction.
But the story itself, and the way it was put together, it just wasn't a very good pilot. Now, it might, as a show, you know, pilots often suffer from these things, right? You kind of got to...
Yeah. You got to watch out for pilots.
You got to let the pilot have...
That's kind of why I was surprised about Westworld. I'm like, this is... It's definitely a pilot.
Yeah.
They're doing a lot of seeding, but I'm like, but it's good. I enjoyed watching it.
So we'll keep watching it, but the pilot was not very good.
Yeah.
But I thought Timeless and Frequency both had strong...
We've got Timeless... So. AV Club gave it a C. I didn't read in because I didn't really want spoilers at this point. They seem to imply from the little blurb I got that it's sort of just a lot of disjointed concepts put together oddly. But
I didn't think
we'll
so.
See. We'll see what I see.
It moves really fast, but I didn't feel like it was rushed. Mostly okay. because they take advantage of a lot of fairly well-worn tropes.
Oh, that's handy.
Yeah, I mean, which can be annoying, but if you just let yourself sort of, okay, they're going to do that, okay, they're going to do that.
Yeah.
It moves around at a pretty good clip, and it's like, okay, that was all right. And plus, I'm a real sucker for this. I was telling my wife this. I'm a real sucker for these stories that start out with some obscure academic, you know, working in their little office, and then one day Homeland Security knocks on the door and says, you got to help us because you're the only person who can. I just love that stuff. I don't know why. And it makes me think of...
We call that pulling a Stargate.
It makes me think of... Jazz is one of those people I can imagine that would actually
happen to. Absolutely.
So knock on her door and say, you got to help us.
But that's the trick. You always have to have a skill set that, like, nobody else has, and more specifically, nobody would ever think they would want.
Well, and also that not very many other people appreciate. Like
that's what I mean by not anybody else would want it.
What I mean is, like, they don't get it, you know?
Yeah.
Until some practical circumstance comes along, and now it's super useful.
I'm telling you, Stargate's the earliest one I can think of this, because he could read hieroglyphics. It wasn't just that, because there's lots of people who can do that, but it was something tied into I think because he was the one who came up with the academic version of aliens built the pyramids, which is the dumbest thing ever, and then they're like, actually, we're pretty sure that's what happened, so you should come with us. But don't worry, we've got Kurt Russell to blow everything up if needed.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons. One of the reasons I wish I'd somehow managed to get a PhD in something was so I could be that person. But now it's never going to happen. No one's ever going to knock on my door.
Most of the stuff you know, nobody else cares about or appreciates.
Yeah, so. But I haven't written a book that they could find.
That's
on
true.
Some dusty shelf
for somebody to
find this guy.
Oh, unless it turns out that the sages are a real thing.
I doubt it.
And then they get confused and they accidentally knock on Stephanie Meyer's door. And come on, that was hilarious.
No, but I do like that kind of stuff. And that happens in this story in Timeless, and it's fun.
Did I tell you the pharmacy thinks my cat is named Twilight?
No, instead of Twiglet?
Yeah, Twiglet needs medicine now, and we get it from the compounding pharmacy the other side of the block here. But the vet called it in originally, and so he's listed as Twilight Turner. And it drove us crazy, and we're like, it shouldn't matter. But the other day, I was like, can we change this? I'm like, I wouldn't normally care, but I hate the idea of people thinking we named our cat after those damn books. I can't cope with that. So, they fixed it.
Oh, and we saw a film that I recommend to you. Well, should I recommend it to you?
I don't know.
It's a thriller, and it's called, They Look Like People. It's an independent.
Never heard of that.
Independent thriller. You can find it streaming on Netflix. I won't say anything about it because it's one of those things you kind of have to experience.
Did you hear that What We Do in the Shadows is getting a TV show?
I did hear that.
But only in New Zealand.
Yeah, I did hear that.
All right, we should probably draw something out because we're almost out of time. I can't believe we wasted that much. Okay, I can believe it. I'm surprised. I feel like we didn't have as much to talk about tonight, and we managed to waste all that time.
Well, there are a lot of shows.
There are a lot of shows, but I haven't seen that many of them.
Well, I've seen a lot.
That's true.
Coffee wants to know.
Coffee. I happen to know currently Coffee is out getting coffee as we
this
speak.
Sounds like a question that we've gotten from the before.
Could be.
What are you holding on to that you should have let go of long ago?
At the moment, the case that this microphone comes in.
But
no, she's asked the similar ones, but I don't think this one.
I don't know. Do you have an answer to that?
Well, if you'd asked me a year ago, I would have said the idea that I'm going to be a writer.
Oh, you would have thought you should have just, like...
I frequently had thought about the, like, I need to really stop pretending that someday I'm going to do this, because it's clearly not happening.
Well, that's not a harmful thing to hold on to, though.
No. Almost always, this kind of stuff would be anger or bitterness at somebody. I don't know. There's a lot that I did hold on to way too long. But all the ones I can think of, I don't anymore. There were a lot of ones, I mean, there were a lot of ones involving exes. I had a couple of relationships that didn't really get closure, and that was difficult for a while, especially if I ran into them later. For a long time, I was very bitter. I had a married couple friends who moved away, and it totally made sense for them, and it was a good decision for them and all that, and they didn't even move that far away, but they just sort of fell off the map because they were fairly insular people anyway, and I was really kind of bitter. I felt like in some ways they had sort of abandoned me. I guess I also had that when my boss left for another company. But I feel like I'm past that, too. I don't know. It did say, oh, it said, what are? That, I thought it said, is there stuff? Because the answer is, of course, there's stuff. I may not even be aware of it, but I feel like there's always that kind of stuff. But I can't think of a lot of specifics now.
Well, you know, I hold on to a lot of grudges against myself.
Yeah, you probably should let those go.
That I acknowledge I should let go. I mean, there are things that, you know, there are things I imagine. You know, I remember when I first started running into people on Facebook, back when I was still on Facebook, and they were, some of them were people who I had rehearsed in my head over and over again what I would say if I ever saw them again. To just, I don't know, not so much to apologize, but to sort of make amends for something I felt like I did to them that was so terrible.
Sorry, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing because I collapsed the collapsible tunnel that Addy plays in, and he jumped through it and was really surprised that it was that short. Because I had collapsed it. Sorry, go ahead. That doesn't work. Cat.
And, you know, only to find out that it was before I even had a chance to give this speech I'd probably rehearsed for 10 years, not even knowing where these people were, if I'd ever see them again, only to find out that they didn't even remember any of this. You know,
yeah.
It's like, I'm carrying this around, and they don't know anything about it. You know, they're talking to me like this thing never happened, and I thought it was this big, horrible thing.
I have one of those.
Obviously bigger in my mind than it was in theirs.
I have one of those. It's not one I will ever talk about on here. But I did something really bad when I was a young adult. That in some ways I think I'm still holding on to, and maybe I shouldn't. But the person who I did it to got over it years and years and years and years and years ago.
Well, and there's
And I'm kind of fine with that, because I'm like, it's not so much about them. It's about me having been like that. Like, that's what's bothering me, not how are they. They're clearly fine. It's how could I, you know?
That well, kind yeah, of thing. Exactly. That's kind of, I mean, I think about things I did when I was really young to, we've talked about it before, actually, not very long ago, times where I was, you know, cruel to someone, like on the playground or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, not for anything that they did, not to get any kind of attention from other people, but just because I was in some bad mood that day. And of course, you grow up a little bit and you learn, hey, you shouldn't be taking stuff out on other people. But I still remember doing that, and it still bothers me, you know? And I still think of seeing that person today and going, hey, you know, I'm really sorry I did that. But they're not going to remember that that happened, you know? But it still bothers me, so.
I have a story. It's really boring. I'm going to tell it anyway. So, in first grade, they had a very specific, my teacher specifically, had a very specific disciplinary process. If you did something wrong, you got a verbal warning. If that same day you did a second thing wrong, you had to, during noon recess, you couldn't go to noon recess. You laid on the floor facing the wall, basically like on the carpet, and just had to hang out there doing nothing for noon recess, which was a half hour. If you did the second bad thing in the afternoon, then it'd just be the next day's noon recess. You know, they made it work. If you did a third thing bad in that day, you sat down with her, and she wrote on a card all the bad shit you did today. And if you did a fourth bad thing, you had to take that card home, get your parents to sign it, and bring it back. I, up until about sixth grade, was an incredibly well-behaved kid. However, one day, I got as far as having the card written out. I can't remember which. I know the first and second. I don't remember which order they were in. But I think at first I had a juice box, and it was empty, and I liked to, like, blow into it, and then I would squeeze it, and it would blow air on people, and I was, like, chasing people around doing this. Dumb, you know, I'm a first grader. Whatever. I also, this was when my arm was broken the first time. So I was in a cast, and there was a girl, Danielle Gukaisen, actually, who's a Facebook friend of mine, who sat next to me, and I think I kind of had a crush on her, but it was first grade, so I wasn't super aware, and that manifested largely in me bugging her, and I don't remember how it escalated, but, like, I jokingly hit her in the head with my cast, and very softly, but she got up and told on me, which makes sense. So then I had to spend noon recess in there. But there was also an afternoon recess, and I went out for that. And during that, I was up on the jungle gym, and there was a kid down below. He was an older kid, Bob May. It's weird I remember these names. And I said to him, "Hey, do you collect bird droppings?" And then I spit on him. I believe I got this from someplace. I don't think I invented this. I think it was a TV show or something. I don't know. But I didn't do a fourth thing. But me being me and feeling bad about it, when I went home, I just told my parents the whole thing. I've held on to that for 33 years. No, I haven't. It just reminded me. I didn't get in trouble a lot when I was a good kid.
I
got grounded once.
There are a lot of things that I'm sure that I did that are bad that I don't remember doing, but there's tons of things going really far back that I remember doing that were bad, and I just remember them. And I feel bad about them to this day. I mean, not like torturing myself depressed bad, but, you know, it's like, yep, that's something I did.
Well, see, and that's why I think I don't hold on to too many, because there's a lot of them that I remember, and when I talk about them or think about them, I'm like, yeah, that sucks, but I don't think about them very often. So clearly I'm not really holding on too much.
Well, for me, though, all of these details culminate into a general bad feeling that I have about myself. I don't think about them all the time, but I have that bad feeling.
And yeah.
And if someone were to notice that bad feeling or sense that I have this bad feeling and say, "Why do you have that bad feeling?" then I could go through and list all these things that I've done that make me not like myself very much, which doesn't make any sense logically or reasonably, because certainly I'm not the same person I was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago, whatever. But I just don't. There's just certain things that I really don't like, you know, that I did that, and I especially don't. What really bothers me is if I did something that I don't like, and someone was involved who never had a chance to know me any other way
except this
thing. So this is how they remember me. This is, as far as they're concerned, this is my impact on their world and on the world, and that's depressing to me. But, you know, there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, and it's you. I'm sure if you managed to somehow encounter somebody who had done the exact same things, you wouldn't think particularly poorly of them.
No, but only because I wouldn't want someone to do that to me.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't mean treat them poorly. I mean just even in your own head,
you
would not think on them that way.
That's right, but the thing is, the culture we live in is very judgmental. It's kind of funny how our culture teaches people to be, to think judgmentalism and being judgmental is bad, but just about everybody is that.
You know? Well, they're very big into right and wrong.
Yeah, I mean, they'll say you know, well, a person shouldn't judge and you shouldn't put labels on people. These are all things people will say, but then they'll turn around and do that very thing, like at the drop of a hat, for any number of reasons. You know, our culture is especially that way when it comes to issues of, like, justice. You know, like, if someone's accused of a crime, they're, like, guilty, you know? Very few people seem to care about, well, remember, this person is innocent until they're proven guilty. Or the notion that, okay, well, maybe they were found guilty, but maybe they actually aren't. I mean, did the evidence really add up to that?
That is a tricky one with people. Like, they got convicted, so that means they did it. Not necessarily. Yeah,
so, and you know, it's hard for people to care about people who are in prison. Like, I didn't know this, but apparently recently there have been sort of a labor strike in prisons in certain areas of the country.
Like, oh, yeah.
24,000 or something, some large number of inmates are striking because of the poor working conditions they have. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I think not just the majority, but the vast majority of Americans would hear something like this and just look at you blankly and say, but they're in prison.
Yeah.
You know, like, yes, but, you know, have you ever heard of how the United States isn't supposed to have cruel and unusual punishment, and how, you know, slavery is always bad, even if a person's in jail? You know, little things like this that are supposed to be part of our American way of life, but people just look at you blankly and say, yeah, but they're in prison. Did you not have a civics class when you were in junior high or high school? I mean, it's just, I don't know. Our culture, they really likes to find a reason to persecute somebody. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my whole life, most of the people I've ever known are like that. They just can't wait to find something wrong with somebody that they can just put a spotlight on and totally persecute that person. Mm-hmm. And I suppose it's because each person is afraid that if they don't put a spotlight on someone else's flaws and persecute them for that, then someone's going to see their flaws and persecute them. Because, again, that's the way our culture is constructed. But it makes it hard to... I don't know. It makes it hard to have friends in our culture, or, you know, to be vulnerable, to talk about things that you're going through that people could easily criticize you for or bully you about. And so I think our people in our culture are sort of encouraged to keep all that stuff to themselves and never really open up to other people. But, I mean, maybe that's just my experience. I don't know.
We are super over time.
Sorry.
This has been Crappy Cultural Corner with William.
Am I wrong? I mean, do you think I'm off base, or?
No, but I have a little bit of a reaction, like when my mother says, I believe the government should stop subsidizing tobacco farmers. I'm like, you're not wrong, but I'm not sure what we're getting out of you saying it. Like,
I'm just saying it.
Well, and I'm not sure it ties with the other stuff, because what you were talking about was how you judge yourself for things that other people don't necessarily judge you for, but that you do, so that seems sort of counter to the entire thing. But I will agree we have a very judgmental culture in the same way we have a very dualistic culture. There needs to be, not only does there need to be right and wrong, there just needs to be right and wrong. There's not in between. There has to be right, there has to be wrong.
I guess the connection there is, one of the reasons I judge myself so harshly is because even though other people, in reality, I come to the conclusion that other people aren't judging me that way, I think they are.
Yeah.
What I'm saying? Or rather, there's this feeling that they are, even though I know they're not,
yeah.
But I can't shake the feeling.
And I don't disagree with the cultural situation, but I suspect, given the strength of your tendency to do this, a lot of it is probably tied into you and not necessarily the culture.
Yeah, I'm sure that's okay. True. But what I'm saying is it's easy for me to project it onto the culture, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then that gets confusing, and then
yeah.
I have to stop and realize, oh, wait, the culture's not... I mean, this is true about the culture, but that's not what's causing this. The culture has messed up this way, but it's the culture's not the cause of my problem. I'm just projecting that on because it's easy to do.
I think
the culture is messed up that way.
I think I've started judging myself less the more I judge the rest of humanity. Like, I feel like I look better in the comparison now. So, like, I used to be mad at myself, but now I'm just like, everybody sucks so bad. I'm not that bad. Like, I think in my head I might be doing, I mean, I'm not doing that purposely, but I think there is some of that. I'm like, the shit that I hate about myself doesn't seem like nearly such a big deal compared to just how all people are the worst ever.
Yeah, I guess get too wrapped up in my own head sometimes.
That I can relate to.
It's really terrible.
As I mentioned, though, way over time, so we're going to wrap this up in that we'll just talk about it again in a few minutes, but for you guys, it'll be a week. Unless you're one of those people who's catching up and then just jump to the other one, and we'll keep the momentum going. In the meantime, this has been Crappy Cultural Corner with William. And then gives up.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.